Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because truth matters. To get on today's program, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Before we go to your questions, a couple of things I want to say about the Book of Mormon. By the way, you can call in your questions at 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. We'll open the Book of Mormon, and the very first words that you will encounter are the following. The Book of Mormon is a volume of Holy Scripture comparable to the Bible. It is a record of God's dealings with the ancient inhabitants of the Americas and contains, as does the Bible, the fullness of the everlasting gospel. The Book of Mormon goes on to say that it is the record of two great civilizations. One came from Jerusalem in 600 BC and afterwards separated into two nations known as the Nephites and the Lamanites. The other is known as the Jaredites. After thousands of years, all were destroyed except the Lamanites. And they are the principal ancestors of the American Indians. The last survivor of the war between the Nephites and the Lamanites was a military commander named Moroni. Following his death and resurrection, Moroni appeared to the prophet Joseph Smith and instructed him relative to the ancient record and its destined translation into the English language. That very day, September 21st, 1823, Moroni told Joseph Smith the location of golden plates that were inscribed in Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. He had abridged these plates allegedly with the help of his father, Mormon. Well, Smith not only secured the golden plates, but along with the plates, a pair of magical eyeglasses. And with the eyeglasses, he translated the fullness of the everlasting gospel. Upon the culmination of this, the most miraculous of feats, Smith said, "I told the brethren that the Book of Mormon was the most correct of any book on earth, and the keystone of our religion. And a man would get nearer to God by abiding by its precepts than by any other book." Well, here's the problem. There is no archaeological evidence for a language such as Reformed Egyptian hieroglyphics. There is no archaeological evidence for lands such as the land of Moron, which is described in Ether 7:6 of the Book of Mormon. There is no archaeological evidence to buttress the notion that the Jaredites, Nephites, and Lamanites migrated from Israel to the Americas. Indeed, archaeology and anthropology demonstrate conclusively that the people, places, and particulars chronicled in the Book of Mormon are little more than the product of Joseph Smith's fertile imagination. Well, what about the Bible? What if, through anthropology and archaeology, there was demonstrable, conclusive evidence that the Bible is not the Word of God, that like the Book of Mormon, it is replete with mythology? If that were to happen, it would be an absolute game changer. Because like Mormonism, Christianity would lose all its credibility. But exactly the opposite has happened. With virtually every turn of the archaeologist's spade, there is more and more evidence that the particulars, the people, the places, the details, the descriptions found in the Bible are in fact painstakingly accurate, meticulous, and true. In an age in which the Mormon Church is attempting to pass itself off as mainstream, Christians must learn to recognize the counterfeit gospel of Mormonism by recognizing the Mormon mirage for just that. It is crucial that Christians are equipped to scale the Mormon language barrier and use Mormon doctrinal deviations to effectively communicate the everlasting gospel of the historic Christian faith. And we say it's historic because it's rooted in history and evidence. Mormons need to know the truth. That is precisely why I've put together a booklet called The Mormon Mirage, Seeing Through the Illusion of Mainstream Mormonism, which, by the way, is available to you. Just give us a call at 888-7000-CRI or log into the World Wide Web at equip.org, or simply write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The distinction in terms of how I put my material together is I don't want to focus on the deviations, but I want to focus on essential Christian doctrine. That becomes the grid by which the counterfeit becomes apparent. All of that outlined in The Mormon Mirage, a little booklet available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Again, you can order in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or just write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go to the phone lines. First up is Janet. She's listening on KSIV in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Janet.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. I've tried to get an answer to where the original manuscripts are located, and maybe I didn't answer my ask my question well before, but who actually has these in their possession?
There is no such thing as original manuscripts anywhere on the planet. They have long ago disintegrated into dust, most likely. So we don't have the originals. What we have is copies of the originals. Now,
and
the original, they pardon?
And who maintains those?
Well, they're all over the place. There are some 5,664 manuscript copies. Some of them are lectionaries, church readings. Some of them are uncials. They're in all caps. Some of them are minuscules and cursive. Some of them are papyrus manuscripts. Some of them are parchment manuscripts. But they're all over the place.
As in, being held by church leaders of different denominations or different universities?
Yes, all of the above.
Okay.
Yes, all
right.
Of the above. And here's the interesting part. The originals or the autographs were written in close proximity to the events that they chronicle. The copies are made in close proximity to the originals. And through what's called the science of textual criticism or textual analysis, you can compare copy with copy and get back to the original. So God has marvelously preserved his words through all kinds of copies by which we can get back to the original. So no one can actually control the originals, as would be the case if they were extant, if they were in existence. So we have an even better situation than if we had the originals, is the bottom line.
Okay. I'm sorry to go on with another question, but I'm just curious, are these copies something that individuals can have access to?
Yes. Yes, you can in certain ways. Just as you can have limited access to, let's say, the Dead Sea Scrolls, You could actually look at them in various forums in various places. I've myself seen them in the Shrine of the Book in Jerusalem when I was in the Holy Land. So you can see them in various ways. They're available in various formats. But to see the actual originals is quite a treat.
Well, thank you. I've always been curious about that. I appreciate you taking the time.
You got it. And what's great about the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were discovered between 1947 and 1956, is that they predate the earliest extant text, the Masoretic text, by 1,000 years. So you have 1,000 years by which to see whether the text has been authentically preserved. And you find out that it has, that there are differences in style and spelling, but no essential difference with respect to substance. So God has marvelously preserved his word over time. And the key to that preservation is the manuscript copies, which are, as I said, very, very voluminous. There are almost 6,000 of them. And if you compare that to anything in ancient history, it dwarfs any other work of ancient history. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Talk to Maureen, listening on KARI in British Columbia. Hi, Maureen.
Hi, Hank. My question, I talk to people who are Christians who say that going to the doctor and taking medication and all this is not Christian. I wonder what the real answer is.
Well, of course it's Christian. We are mm-hmm. called to be stewards of the bodies that God has given us, just as we're called to be stewards of the minds that God has given us, and therefore we have to take care of them. And if you can have medications that help you to be able to function in a fallen world, not taking them would be a sin.
Right. I see. Okay. Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Unfortunately, there are all kinds of people that are telling you, like Fred Price from Southern California, that medicine is just a crutch for immature believers. If you need a crutch or something to help you along, then praise God. Hobble along until you get your faith moving to the point where you don't need the crutch. Mature believers, according to Price, can do without such a crutch. When you've developed your faith to such an extent that you can stand on the promises of God, then you won't need medicine. That's the reason, says Price, I don't take medicine. The problem with what he is saying is he's living in an illusory world. The fact of the matter is, God never promises us perfect health on the basis of our faith. Rather, we live in a fallen world. The death rate is one per person, and everyone is going to make it, including Dr. Price and Benny Hinn and the rest of the faith teachers. Their hair falls out just like everybody else's hair falls out. Their eyes grow dim and they need glasses just like everybody else. The reality is, we are going to experience a perfect body, not in this world, not with the old order of things, but with a new order of things. So do not let the faith teachers warp the word and have you fall for it. I've written about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Back to the phone lines. Jeff, WHK, Cleveland, Ohio. Hi.
Hello. I received a book in the mail the other day. It was called The National Sunday Laws. I believe it's a Seventh-day Adventist publication.
Yes.
It really didn't say who published it or where it was from or why I received it, but it describes Sunday worship as being a sign of the beast. And I was wondering, what is the place of the Sabbath now in a Christian's life, and where did we get the Sunday worship?
Well, I think the place of the Sabbath is very important because in remembrance of the resurrection, the early Christian church changed the day of worship from Saturday to Sunday. And within weeks, thousands of Jews willingly gave up a theological tradition that had given them their national identity. God himself had provided the early church with a new pattern of worship through Christ's resurrection on the first day of the week, as well as the Holy Spirit's descent on Pentecost Sunday. And here's why. For the emerging Christian church, the most dangerous snare was a failure to recognize that Jesus was the substance that fulfilled the symbol of the Sabbath. In other words, it is in Jesus Christ, according to Hebrews, that we have our Sabbath rest. So we still observe a day, but that day is observed not in terms of the shadow, but in terms of the substance, Jesus Christ, again, in whom we have our Sabbath rest. I wrote about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. We'll be right back with more.
June 30th marks the end of our fiscal year. As you hear on the Bible Answer Man, there is no shortage of spiritual hunger that people have. Lives are being changed. Hank takes calls regularly from people who've been deceived by counterfeit religions or cults. Others simply don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth. If Christians are not equipped to communicate what they believe and why, then the historic Christian faith will be ever more marginalized in our culture. So help us finish our fiscal year strong. Please pray for us, and as the Lord leads, contact us with your generous financial support. Call our toll-free number at 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at www.equip.org. And thank you in advance for your help. We'll be back with more of the Bible Answer Man very shortly, so stay with us.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews, such as the one portrayed in Avatar, are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. You'll also find insightful articles on the attempt to explain faith and morality using neuroscience, animists viewed as model environmentalists, and much more.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
Master the defense of the resurrection in minutes and remember it for a lifetime with the latest release of the Hankrenem series, Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is not merely important to the historic Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity. To make the facts of the resurrection memorable and easily referenced, Hank has developed the Hankrenem Feat and created the second in a series of specifically designed flip charts. Laminated, tabbed, and sized to fit in your pocket, this incredible tool will allow you to defend the truth of the resurrection on a moment's notice. Available for your gift to the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or when you go online to equip.org. We live in arguably the greatest civilization in the history of the world, and yet we could be looking at its very demise. Four horsemen of this modern-day apocalypse bring plagues that could mean the fall of this civilization. Hank Hanegraaff describes how each of these horsemen could bring down the very society in which we live, and how we as Christians must live in the midst of this 21st century apocalypse in his special message titled, The Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse. To equip yourself to live as a change agent for Christ in the culture rather than conforming to it, order your copy of Hank's latest message now on DVD or CD when you call our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all of the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's toughest questions. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
And a quick reminder, as Randy was just saying, we're now halfway through our Jubilee year at the Christian Research Institute, a year in which we purpose, by God's grace, to rid the ministry of an anchor of debt so that we can wholeheartedly embrace the vision that God has laid before us. And you can be a part of that solution as we continue to embrace a vision, not only in the West, but also in the East. God is using the ministry to bear abundant, abiding fruit, and we ask you to stand with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines and speak with Connie, listening on the web in Palm Springs, California. Hi, Connie.
Hi, Hank. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you for saving my life with your sound teaching. I've had a series of crises and had to revisit some of my false theology that wasn't squaring with reality. And without your teaching, I would have strayed, period. Thank you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you for the encouragement.
My question is on, I think it's John 10:27. I was talking to someone today, and they said God speaks to them in their heart or mind. And if I say, God never speaks to me, and I can't discern my internal thoughts from God's, so I just go by what he left as instruction, does that then follow, according to them, that if I don't hear his voice in my mind or audibly, I am not his?
No, absolutely not. It is true that in John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. But the voice of Jesus Christ is codified in the Word of God, which is to say that you can read the Word of God, and as you do, listen to the voice of God as he speaks to you each day. Not only that, but when you read the Word of God, your conscience is informed, because God has written a knowledge of himself upon the tablet of your heart. And we can never simply go by our feelings, but God has given us a very clear knowledge of himself internally as well as externally through his word and through his world. So we have to listen to the voice of God as he speaks to us. But he speaks to us principally through his word. He can also lead us through circumstances and through people. So we certainly want to follow good counselors and people that God has brought into our life. But as with anything I say, you have to test it in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good. So one of the amazing aspects of the Bible is that it is not just dead. It's alive and it's active, and God speaks to us through the mystery of his word. And then the Holy Spirit illumines our minds to what is revealed in his word. In other words, the Holy Spirit makes us wise up to that which is written, but never beyond that which is written.
Okay. So I'm okay.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and always test the spirits. You know, John the Apostle love warns, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. And it is particularly important to test the spirits because Satan's foremost strategy of spiritual seduction is to disguise himself as an angel of light. His slickest slogan is feel, don't think. So you want to make certain that you're steeped in the Word of God and in prayer. But you also need to be part of a healthy, well-balanced church because other believers that are following the Lord can be part and parcel of the process of leading you and speaking to you so you hear the voice of God.
Okay. Thank you so much, Hank.
You got it, Connie. Thank you for calling, and thanks for the encouragement.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I want to go back to the phone lines now, talk to Tom. Tom is listening on KQCV in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Hi, Tom.
Hank, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm pretty good. I have two questions. Do I have time for one or both of them?
Well, go for it.
Okay, the first one is, why didn't Jesus pass through the walls of the tomb instead of having the stone rolled away? And the second one is, why hadn't Lazarus' spirit already gone to heaven instead of his spirit still being in his body waiting to be resurrected?
Which Lazarus?
Lazarus, the one that was in the tomb.
Well, here's what happens at death, and certainly this happened with Lazarus. When he was dead, he was absent from the body. So his spirit and his body were separated. In fact, that's the definition of death. It is a separation of body and soul. So certainly when he was dead, he was in his body in the tomb, but his soul was with the Lord.
His spirit.
His soul or spirit. You can refer as to the incorporeal or non-corporeal aspect of humanity in two different ways, a soul or spirit. Spirit in the sense of that which relates to God and soul in the sense of that which relates to earthly things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still an aspect of the non-physical component of humanity.
Right.
Now, as far as Jesus was concerned, Jesus was precisely like that in the sense that when Jesus died, his body was in the tomb, but he was with his heavenly Father. In fact, he said to his Father at death, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And to the thief on the cross, he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Now, certainly Jesus in his resurrected body could have transcended material things. He could have done a lot of things because he was the God-man. But he chose not to do those things. And in fact, I would say something more perhaps, Tom, that the tomb, with the tombstone rolled away, was for our sake, not for Christ's sake. In other words, Christ could do a lot of things, but he did a lot of things for our sake so that we might learn. And he left for us many evidences for his resurrection, and this is part of that process. We can know that the resurrection is true on the basis of historical evidences.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I want to go to Viola. She's listening on KSCV in Springfield, Missouri. Hi, Viola.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm here.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay. I have a question, Hank.
Sure.
A friend called me from Jersey, and she has stopped going to church because she's now following Arnold Murray on shepherdchapel.com. What do you know? What could you tell me about that man?
Well, she's following a false teacher. He denies the Trinity. He claims Christ and the Holy Spirit are one and the same.
Mm-hmm.
He believes that men were gods who existed prior to living on earth. He teaches this very dangerous teaching of Anglo-Israelism, which holds that the Anglo-Saxons are the chosen race.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches a serpent seed doctrine, an idea that Eve had sex with a snake and bore Cain. So he is a false teacher, not just in terms of secondary issues, but essential Christian doctrine. Very dangerous and deceptive teacher.
All right. That satisfies me. when I talk to her, I'm going to tell her she's going down the wrong path, Hank.
Tell her she's going down the wrong path and to test what he says in light of Scripture and hold fast to that which is good.
Well, she only gets to him on the Internet. Now, I don't have a computer here, but she said he's right on because she sent me 2 pages of Scriptures that she's studying, and for some reason I felt a little disturbed, Hank.
Well, and that's discernment, but remember that Satan never shows himself in terms of his naked, ugly deformity.
Okay.
If he did, no one would buy into the lie. So he always gives us the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. The skin of the truth looks good, but the lie is dangerous. And that's precisely what you have with Arnold Murray in Shepherd's Chapter.
Okay.
Very dangerous distortion of reality or truth.
Okay, danger. I'm writing this down. Okay. All right, Hank. Thanks so much.
You got it, Viola.
Right, bye-bye.
Bless you. Want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Michael, listening on KSIV in Carbondale, Illinois. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
I'm good. Nice talking to you.
Nice talking to you. I haven't talked to you in a couple of years. Fan, got to give you kudos on the Word of God being codified, the voice of God being codified in the Word of God. That was a fabulous explanation. My question to you, Hank, is this. I'm a apologetics major from Liberty University, and do you feel that in this coming generation that we are drifting further and further from the evangelical concept of church, genuine orthodoxy, or do you believe that that we do have a remnant that's coming up, churches that are coming up? I've visited several churches, and as far, I have a passion for the truth, and as far as north is from south, some of our churches today, even though they have an appearance of Christianity, appearance of evangelicalism, seem to be drifting away. Are we leaning back towards that? Do we have a remnant that's leaning back towards first century Christianity?
Well, I think there's always the remnant. God has always had a remnant. But in terms of general statement, I would say we are drifting very, very dangerously towards what Western Europe looks like. So our country is in a very bad state in terms of evangelicalism, in terms of the church in general. For revival to take place in the culture, there has to be reformation in the pew, and on a broad base, that's certainly not the case. Where you do find a tremendous revival in the culture as a direct result of authentic New Testament Christianity is in Asia, in Africa, and parts of South America. So the church is growing there in a robust sense because every believer is involved in prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word in their worship, and the believers are involved in oneness. They're using their time and talent for the edification of the body, and then they're being equipped to go out and impact the world, to make a difference. And that's why the church is growing and impacting the culture in such a dramatic sense. But not so much in West. In the West, the church is becoming a caricature of itself.
Yeah, God help us to get back there.
Yes. Well, bad news, but got to give you a direct answer. Thank you so much for your call. On this side of the break, we'll come back with more of your questions. Remember the number to dial Monday through Friday this time to get your question on the air. 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Be right back with more of your questions. Stay tuned.
To defend your faith with passion and precision, you need to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Avatar, the special effects extravaganza movie by James Cameron, has just recently become the number one box office blockbuster of all time. Clearly, this historic movie is resonating with tens of millions of people around the planet. However, it is not merely special effects entertainment. It is cult-like in its effect. In this issue, we examine the impact pagan worldviews such as the one portrayed in Avatar are having not only on our culture, but the entire world. To subscribe now, go to www.equip.org or call us at 888-7000-CRI. Don't wait. Start your subscription today. Don't go away. The Bible Answer Man broadcast returns in just a moment.
Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Joe in Columbia, Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically-based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. Now you can benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times through the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has assembled what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Each book of the Bible begins with an introduction written by Hank, which means for each book you'll learn its L-E-G-A-C-Y. Or location, essence, genre, author, context, and years. The entire Bible is crafted so that you can document your legacy of faith. It's like including Hank in your Bible studies.
Order the Legacy Study Bible edited by Hank Hanegraaff by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Again, that's equip.org.
Every day at the Christian Research Institute, we're encouraged to hear from listeners who share how their lives have been radically changed through the broadcast ministry of CRI and the Bible Answer Man program. And we're excited to help stimulate change agents around the globe. Our passion and purpose is to equip believers worldwide with the truth about cults, culture, and Christianity, so that when faced with distortions of the truth or false teachings, it is instantly recognizable. But ministry, especially broadcast radio, requires enormous resources. If the Bible Answer Man program is ministered to you, would you consider standing with us both prayerfully and financially? To donate, call us at 888-7000-274 or visit us on our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271.
And right back to our questions. We're having a little technical difficulty here. By the way, the Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse is a DVD or a CD available right now for your gift to the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. You can order on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to William. He's listening in Richmond, Virginia on WLES. Hi, William.
Hello, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. I can't complain. My question is, Hank, I've heard so many different teachings with regards to tithing, and I'm trying to understand where in the New Testament is tithing a requirement? Because all the teachings that I hear, they always go back to Malachi 3, and it's almost a threat. Well, if you don't tithe, then, you know, you're being brought under the curse.
Yeah. Well, what was practiced in the early church was a free will sharing of material goods, and you see that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So Christians were not commanded to give a tenth of what they earned, but to give themselves completely as living sacrifices to God. We see that in Romans chapter 12, and to give materially as the Lord leads, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. But I think that the tithe is a great way of learning to give generously. You might say that the tithe is the training wheels for giving. And certainly the principle of the tithe is an enduring principle, because Moses communicated to the children of Israel, we tithe so that we might learn to revere the Lord our God always. And learning to revere the name of God is a timeless principle. It's as crucial today as in the days of Moses. So I don't think that you want to give because someone is threatening you, but you want to give to demonstrate that you really care about advancing the kingdom of God, and you are more concerned about leaning on the arm of God than on the arm of flesh. You have more trust in God than in your own flesh, and you really believe that God will provide for those who are faithful to Him. And I can certainly tell you from the experience of my own personal life that that is true. I think of my parents, for example. My dad was a minister of the gospel. He went into the ministry late in life. He had to sell everything he had to go to seminary. And when he graduated, I don't think he ever had a church that he made more than $30,000 a year at. I don't know the exact number, but I know that generally it was not a lot of money and probably a whole lot less than what I'm saying right now. But in any case, I saw his faithfulness in giving to the Lord, setting apart money for the Lord, even out of a very small amount that he was making. And yet, when he died in 1997, he left my mother in a very good state because he was frugal and he was very diligent and he had trusted in the Lord, as my mom has. And her needs have been taken care of and will be taken care of until the day she dies. So the faithfulness of the Lord to those who are faithful is abundant. And if our goal is to extend his kingdom, the Lord will provide for us. Sometimes he provides in big ways. It's not as much how much you make, but what you do with what you have that the Lord's concerned with.
Right. And the reason why that was an issue, because I've talked to a lot of people and their attitude is, well, once I give my 10%, you know, I can pretty much do what I want with the 90. And what I'm trying to understand, or what I try to convey, is that, no, all of what you have belongs to the Lord.
Exactly.
Not
exactly.
Just 10%, but it's what you do with all of it.
Yes.
They look at me like, well, you know, you're just off in left field, and I'm just...
No, you're,
you know,
right on.
Baffled.
You're right on. In fact, that's exactly the point. We are not owners, we're stewards. We hold everything that we have with an open hand so that God can take out of it and put in as he sees fit.
Yeah, okay. I feel like a lot of times that the church is being taught a disservice by just teaching the principle of the tithe and not really a fully giving yourself. And I think the gentleman who spoke before about the condition of the church in America, I think that's the problem, that, well, if we don't teach this tithe, then the people aren't going to give. So there's almost like a lack of trust in the Holy Spirit to move on the hearts of the people to really provide what that particular church may need. And oftentimes, to me, it seems like churches are building their own little kingdom and not so much God's kingdom.
Well,
on Europe.
Well said. Proverbs 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruit of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. And I think that's a promise that is as good today as it was when the wisest man who ever lived gave it. The Bible chronicles Solomon's father, David, as he thanked God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. He said, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand,
right.
And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. And that's the goal. I mean, do we really believe that everything we have is a gift from God, our talent, our time, and our treasure? If we do, we will give freely of our talent, time, and treasure to the service of the Lord.
Amen. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate that.
You got it, William. Thank you for your call. And, of course, there's no telling what can be accomplished in our generation if we, too, may but catch the joy of contagious giving. Not only will we be empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, but we will be able to leave an indelible mark on our generation. When I say to people on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the gospel's free, but someone has to put in the plumbing. I'm not trying to be cute. I'm trying to say that without tangible resources, ministries are limited in what they can do. And that's why we depend on you for your prayers and your finances. God provides through his people. And once again, a reminder to stand with this ministry, because it is a ministry that is bearing abundant, abiding fruit, and therefore is a good and very strategic investment in kingdom work. You can give on the World Wide Web at equip.org when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Dave, listening on XM 170, New Haven, Connecticut. Hi, David.
Hi. I was just, my sister-in-law went to the computer and found that the English Standard Version of the Bible is better than any of them. It's number one on being closest to the manuscripts, being translated to the manuscripts of the Greek and the, I guess, Hebrew. And I was just wondering what you thought about it.
Well, I think it's a good translation of the Bible, but there are a lot of good translations of the Bible. It depends on whether you want a dynamic equivalency, a formal equivalency. I like the NASB when I memorize Proverbs. I like the NIV when I memorize things like the Sermon on the Mount or the Book of Revelation. So it depends on what I'm using the Bible for. But there are many great translations that are using the best manuscript evidence that is available today. But certainly the ESV is a good translation of the Bible.
Okay, I was just wondering. She found it on the computer, and I was just wondering, and she said, I wanted to buy one, and she couldn't find it, but God provided a thing for me to get them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, because she lives in North Carolina, and I live in Pennsylvania, and my wife and her, she was talking, and I said, oh, I know it's got to be there, and the Lord provided me to be able to buy them.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, what a great testimony.
Yeah. All righty. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Appreciate your call. And I want to mention a couple of things in relationship to Dave's call, and that is that the King James Version would likely have remained preeminent among English Bible translations if it were not for three principal factors, the first of which is the evolution of language. In King James English, you have gay clothing. Well, that means fine clothing, and the modern translations render it as such. Second is progress in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages. And as a result of that, there have been some changes in modern Bibles. They don't really make a whole lot of difference in terms of substance, but they are stylistic and in some cases, substantive. For example, in the 1600s, PIM was supposed by the KJV translators to refer to a file that was used to sharpen tools. As a result of archaeological discoveries in the 20th century, translators now know PIM refers to the price charged for sharpening tools. And the third is the discovery of earlier and better manuscripts. And that kind of manuscript evidence demonstrates conclusively that certain inclusions in the King James Version were unwarranted, such as the famous comma Johannium in 1 John 5:7. And so the modern translations that use the best manuscript evidence are the most reliable. And you can, in that vein, look at the New King James Version of the Bible, the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, and the version that we just talked about. There are a lot of great versions available right now, and that is one of the blessings that we have living in our generation. We live in a generation in which we have some of the most incredible biblical resources. The question now is, are we going to use those resources? Are we going to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into us? Well, today, I have so many people calling in. I'm going to stay for an extra hour once we go off the air. and I'll continue everybody hanging on. I'll take your call. And for those dialing in right now, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. I'll try to get to your questions in the next hour as well. Before we close off the broadcast today, I do want to make a very sincere ask, asking you who benefit from the ministry of the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast to stand with us prayerfully and financially. For your gift of $100 or more, I would love to send you a personalized copy of the complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, or the Apocalypse Code. The Apocalypse Code, very helpful. The Apocalypse Code, of course, very helpful in teaching you how to read the Bible for all it's worth. For $250 or more, we've got a very special gift. It is the book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, personalized, leather-bound, numbered, and personalized. And that is a very special offer. Also, the Legacy Study Bible, personalized for your gift of $250 or more. For a gift this month, of course, in general, for your gift, the Four Horsemen of the 21st Century Apocalypse, a message that I gave recently, available for your gift. Again, you can order all these resources on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. And do remember the Christian Research Journal, which is an award-winning magazine that no Christian home should be without. It is available through the Christian Research Institute as a subscription magazine, and you can subscribe online at www.equip.org. Remember, we're going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air. The number to dial right now to get your question through, 888-ASK-HANK. So long for now.
Hank Hanegraaff has created the perfect tool to build and pass along your spiritual heritage. It's the Legacy Study Bible. Hank has meticulously crafted this study Bible to help give you some of the same insight and understanding you receive from him on the Bible Answer Man. The book introductions are all written by Hank using his well-known acronym LEGACY, which stands for Location, Essence, Genre, Author, Context, and Years. With timelines and charts, an extensive concordance, four-color maps, and much more. Order your copy today. Call 888-7000-CRI. Look for it online at equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. As summer fast approaches, the clock is ticking on our fiscal year, which ends June 30th. With just a few weeks remaining in our fiscal year, we need to finish our year on budget. No other live daily broadcast proclaims truth, corrects error, and tackles the hottest Bible questions on a daily basis like the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if this outreach is important to you, or you have been equipped and edified by the daily teaching of the Bible Answer Man, we need your financial assistance so that we can finish our fiscal year on target. It's easy to get in touch with CRI. Simply call our toll-free number. It's 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also donate online at equip.org. And thank you in advance for your prayerful, generous support. Do you use software programs to prepare your taxes, store and display photos, or create music playlists? Have you considered software for your Bible? GLOW is an interactive Bible resource that allows users to explore and experience the Bible in a whole new way. Imagine studying the timeline of Jesus' ministry, following Paul's journeys on interactive maps, touring the Holy Land, reading articles on marriage, money, and work, and creating your own Bible reading plan, all from one software program. You'll experience the Bible in a whole new way with GLOW, a Bible for the digital world, complete with over 2,000 high-resolution photos, 7,000 articles, 460 virtual reality tours, 147 maps, and timelines.
Lines. You can order your copy of GLOW today online at equip.org or by calling the Christian Research Institute toll-free at 1-888-7000-CRI.